Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls. Headlines on a Thursday afternoon live from the Central Bar and Restaurant in Bellevue. Headlines, of course, are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
No, come on, man. Oh, my God.
NCAA basketball, Huskies Arizona, set for 5:30 tonight in Tucson. No longer set. Not going to happen. Tonight's game has been postponed due to a COVID issue at Washington. By the way, the Huskies basketball team and their program is 100% vaxxed. Just so people out there know, the game will be rescheduled at a later date. Nothing officially has been announced as of now.
Kraken losing their first ever overtime shootout last night, 4-3 in Detroit, but they salvage a point for an overtime loss. They face Edmonton at Climate Pledge Arena tomorrow night at 7.
And because there's no Husky basketball tonight, we've got NFL football Thursday night style at 5:20. Dallas at the Saints. Taysom Hill will make the start at quarterback for New Orleans. Running back Alvin Kamara will not play tonight for the Saints. And Cowboy wide receiver Amari Cooper expected to play for Dallas.
Baseball news. Red Sox have signed our old friend James Paxton.
Oh.
1 year, $10 million.
God, why?
Similar to the contract he received from the Mariners last year when he pitched an inning and a third.
Unbelievable.
Before getting injured.
The biggest news in baseball, by the way, is there's a lockdown. MLB locking out its players today, the first work stoppage since 1990. That means no free agent contracts can be signed, no trades, team officials and players cannot communicate with each other, and the major league portion of the winter meetings for now has been canceled.
Raul Ruiz Diaz, Yaimar, Joel Paulo, all named the MLS Best 11 list. It was Ruiz Diaz's second straight honor, the first for the other two Sounders.
Remember that story about Antonio Brown getting a fake vax card
yes.
from his chef? It sounds like it may have been true. Because the NFL today suspending wide receiver Antonio Brown for 3 games for violating the league's COVID protocol for misrepresenting his vaccination status.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Softy and Dick.
You know, it just bowls me over, man, how dumb some of these guys are. It is just incredible. Look, and this is not, again, Dick. Let me just make this perfectly crystal clear. This is not a commentary on vaccinations or whether you should get one, not get one, whatever, do whatever the hell you want. But if you play in the NFL and you have to be vaxxed, and if you're not vaxxed, you have to follow different protocols, obviously. Where in the world would Antonio Brown think he would get away with faking his vaccination status in front of the National Football League? Look, you don't want to get a shot, then don't get a shot. But my God, you got to be just a dumb, dumb, dumb idiot to think that you could get away with this, man. Unbelievable how stupid some of these guys are at that level.
When you're coddled, when you're a superstar,
I
and
guess.
Everybody, when you have the ability to look down on everyone else and think that the rules don't apply to you, then you think you can extend that to just about anything. And he's extended that in various different tentacles over his NFL career. That is for sure.
I still would have liked him here.
By
the way,
I would have too.
If he could have played for us the way he played for the Buccaneers last year
Absolutely.
And the way he's played for him this year, and you said to me, you can have Antonio Brown. He'll do exactly what he did for Tampa Bay, but on the 2nd of December, heading into week 13, whatever it is of the NFL season, he's going to get suspended for faking his vaccination status. I would have said, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I would have signed up for that. I would have signed up. If Josh Gordon would have given you those type of numbers, and Josh Gordon went back into back into problems, I would have taken that. But, I mean, think about Antonio Brown on this team last year. They went 12-4 without him.
Right.
What would have happened in the Rams game with Antonio Brown? Who knows what would have happened beyond that if they would have gotten by the Rams with Antonio Brown? around. He certainly made a massive difference on that Bucs championship run.
Well, it's a guy who in 2 years with Tampa Bay has played 13 games and has over 900 yards receiving and 8 touchdowns. Jeez. Could you use those numbers right now on the Seahawks football team? The problem is if you had Antonio Brown in Seattle, Russell Wilson would never throw to him. So forget about it. He can be wide open. It wouldn't even matter. But we got a poll we have to get to because Dick and I are continuing to go back and forth on the defense. And I don't even know, to be honest with you, what we're debating anymore, but we can clear this up on the air. Rick Neuheisel is going to join us here in a matter of minutes, courtesy of Taco Time. Get us Taco Time pick of the week, the SEC championship, the Big Ten championship, Pac-12 championship, obviously tomorrow in Vegas. Lots of games to pick from for Dick. But the poll on Twitter...
Update on the poll!
...is a very easy one. Are you encouraged by what you're seeing from the Seahawk defense? And we're asking people for a lot of reasons. You know, next year, the end of the year, bringing a bunch of guys back. I think you got, a couple of guys who are free agents at the end of the year. Quandre Diggs is a free agent. DJ Reed is a free agent. Rasheem Green is a free agent. Bobby Wagner, I think, has one more year left on his contract after this season. Hyder, Taylor, Alton Robinson have 3 years left, and Jordan Brooks has 3 years left. I'm sorry, Hyder and Taylor and Alton have 2 years left. Brooks has 3 years left. So you could bring a big portion of this defense back next year. That's the point. So are you encouraged by the direction the Seahawk defense is heading? 900 votes in about 5 minutes. 55% say no and 45% say yes. Tackle that one.
Well, I'm encouraged that it's that high that say yes, 45%, considering the team's 3-8. I mean, I think the knee-jerk reaction to any Seahawks-related question on a poll, the answer probably would be negative, regardless of who you're talking about. Even if you said, hey, has Michael Dixon had a good year from the Seahawks? No! We're 3-8.
I'm going to tweet that out right
you
now.
You know, so
and I guarantee it'd be 95-5.
I mean, but you know what I mean, right? I mean, everybody's negative about this football team right now. And I guess I like to identify what the problems are on a football team. I don't just like to look at the football team in general and say, oh, team sucks, that's it, that's all. I want to identify what's going wrong, what's going right, and looking forward to the future, what can you build upon and what can't you build upon? And I think this defense is something that you can build upon. You do not have a lot of big-time veterans on this team. Quandre Diggs is in his seventh year. You got Al Woods. You're going to have to replace Al Woods at some point. He's an old guy, and you're going to have to replace Bobby Wagner, who's still playing at the top of his game. But other than that, this is a defense full of second to fourth, fifth-year guys.
Yeah, that's great, but you're 3-8. And again, I mean, I know...
Again, you just didn't listen to anything that I said the last 45 seconds.
No, I just don't agree with it at all.
Okay. You don't identify what's good and bad about a team then. You just see a team, you see their record, that's it, that's all, it doesn't matter.
I see a football team that's 3-8, and I see people throwing a party over the defense when I don't care. They're 3-8.
Throwing a party?
Yeah. I mean, yes. I see people on Twitter all week long talking, the defense is phenomenal, blah, blah, blah. You're doing it, Hawk bloggers doing it, other people are doing it. What do I care? They're 3-8. I mean, good. Yes, you're right. The defense has played better. You're absolutely 1,000 times correct. Now, can we get back to what matters? And the fact is that you're 3-8.
Okay. So you want to. So when a team is doing badly, no matter who it is, there should be no roses thrown to any portion of that team, regardless if it's a basketball, hockey, baseball, football. No, it's 3-8, therefore everything sucks and everything should be criticized.
I'm saying you can do whatever you want. I'm telling you where
so
I'm
you
coming
won't.
From. Well, why would I? They're 3-8.
Okay, so that's a blanket statement you're going to say about
every team. I don't know what you want. I mean, Dick, you're... I wish I spoke four different languages so I can say they're 3-8 in different ways to you.
So you did answer my question without answering.
They're an awful football team. They're 3-8. If you want to throw roses at the defense, if that's what you want to focus on, then you go ahead and do that. I'm not speaking for you. I'm speaking for me. You can do whatever you want. Fans can do whatever they want. I'm telling you where I'm coming from. This mouth and this brain, luckily for you, is in my head and not your head. And so I'm telling you right now where I am coming from, I am not in the mood to throw roses at anybody. You want to point out casually, hey, man, the biggest problem on this football team has been the offense and the coaching and the quarterback and the play calling. Totally agree with you on that. that, 1,000%. I do think there are issues with this defense, though, and we've mentioned this many times on the air. They don't get after the quarterback. They don't force turnovers. They don't pick off passes. And when they need to, in the fourth quarter of tight games, they don't normally get that big stop. So we'll come back and talk about that. I'm also not sure how sustainable this is, all of this is, because of the red zone defense that they're playing. I think it's a big reason why they're where they're at, but you want to throw roses at the defense? If that's the mood that you're in, then you have every right to go ahead and do that. That's not where I'm coming from, because I see the view from 35,000 feet and a football team that's got much bigger problems that are worth talking about first before we discuss the defense and how well they've played over the last 3 or 4 weeks. That's just where I'm coming
from. Well, I haven't seen one person on Twitter call this defense phenomenal. And that's the word you just used. I have not seen one person say this defense is phenomenal.
I'm talking in general terms. I mean, I don't have to take that literally. That's fine.
Well, I think this defense has played well. I think any defense that is sixth in the NFL in points allowed, I don't know how you can say it hasn't played well. You don't have to say it's elite. You don't have to say it's great. You don't have to say it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But it's played well. I mean.
I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
Okay.
I just don't care.
Well, then then at some point, we got to stop looking at 2021 and look forward to the 2022 team and what we can take from this 2021 team and use it to get back to the playoffs in 2022. And I think there's a lot of – I agree with you on the pass rush. I agree with you on that opposite corner.
Yep.
You know, maybe Trey Brown's going to be the guy opposite DJ Reed. We don't know yet because we haven't seen enough of him, but so far the early returns are pretty good. What can we take from this defense in 2021 and get to a point where it's at least top 7-8 in points allowed and we can get this offense back on track for next year?
Problem is, you're seeing an issue, or you're talking about, for me, a defense that I would liken it to, like, I don't know, a beautiful man cave where you have an 85-inch 4K TV. You got, $8,500 leather seats that you stole from a movie theater, the plush carpet, the lighting, the whole thing, incredible speaker system, awesome room. But to get to that, you have to walk through a fire. You have to walk through mud. You have to walk through nails. You have to walk on skeleton bones to get to that point.
That's the offense.
Yes, and that's where I'm coming from. How can we even remotely start to get fired up? Because you get fired up, to me, about a defense for one reason, because it could equal wins. That's why. That's why you're excited. You're excited about the defense because you want it to equal wins. If you thought the defense would be great, but the offense would suck for the next decade, you wouldn't give a damn. But you're fired up for the defense because you think it might lead to wins down the road. To even remotely think about that, you got to fix so many other issues on this football team, and that's where my focus is at. So we'll chat about that. Let's get to Rick Neuheisel right now, courtesy of Taco Time.
Your home for College Football Saturdays is live with CBS Sports analyst Rick Neuheisel. Powered by Taco Time. Hungry? At Taco Time, it's easy to create exactly what you're craving. And we wouldn't have it any other way. How do you Taco Time? Customize your meal and order ahead on the Taco Time Northwest app. Taco Time. Time for something different. Now with Rick Neuheisel, here's Softy and Dick.
All right, big day to get Rick Neuheisel on the air. We're going to Taco Time Pick of the Week in a matter of minutes. But joining us right now on the radio program, a guy that knows what Kalen DeBoer went through on Tuesday when he was introduced as the brand new head coach on Montlake, because Rick Neuheisel at one point had that same pomp and circumstance thrown his way. The cheerleaders, the balloons,
the band,
the marching band, the buffet, the media, everybody there except for Jen Cohen. It was Barbara Hedges introducing Rick Neuheisel as the head coach of the Dogs 22 years ago, and it joins us right now. Hey, what do you make of this? Kalen DeBoer, there's a club of ex-Husky coaches out there. Kalen DeBoer is the latest member of the current club of Husky coaches. What do you make of the hire?
I am fired up for Kalen, and as you're sitting there reminding me of the 1999 pomp and circumstance, I am sitting here remembering the purple tie that I wore. It was a big day. I think it was January 9th, and it was the next 90 days. It rained every day, but I've never been more excited about a job, and I'm sure that's the same way Kalen feels.
Well, Rick, I'm going to ask you one last question on the 2021 Husky season, and then let's just flush it down the drain. Give us your thoughts on what you saw in the Apple Cup and also the handling of Sam Huard.
Well, it's a tough year, and you would have loved for Sam Huard to experience some measure of success down the stretch, but it wasn't to be. It just didn't work out, and I don't know the whys and wherefores. I wasn't there on a daily basis, so it would be unfair to point fingers at anybody. But now that you've got Jake Haener in the transfer portal,
yeah,
the quarterback that was Kalen DeBoer's and a very successful quarterback, I think he finished eighth in passing yards in the country, in the transfer portal, that means that Jake might be coming back to where he started his career, which is the University of Washington, which makes it very interesting for the Heward family.
Yeah.
Because obviously they came there with huge expectations about a career, a five-star kid. This has started up in anything but the direction they thought. And I'm not sure what Kalen DeBoer's strategy is in the communication with not only Sam, but the entire family.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. Jake Haener tweeting out today that he's going to leave Fresno, but no word yet on the destination. A lot of folks are assuming, of course, he'll end up at UW, but we know he is leaving Fresno State. If you were Damon Heward, if you were Sam Heward, what's your move if Jake Haener shows up?
Well, the good news about the transfer portal is there's no time deal. So if Jake Haener decides to come to Washington, they can go through spring ball. They can see what where the dust settles, or they can make the assumption that, you know what, the die has been cast, that Haener is, you know, following his coach. The coach and he have a great relationship. Why are we going to fight City Hall here? Well, let's just choose someplace else. We've got three more years of eligibility. That's plenty of time to establish ourselves as, you know, the great player and the great future that they all believe is Sam Heward's, and there are lots of people that would be hands straight to the sky trying to get Sam Heward to come to them.
Well, Rick, Hugh Millen has mentioned, and I 100% agree, that if Jake Haener comes here, it behooves Sam Heward. It is better for Sam Heward's collegiate career to sit and watch Jake Haener for 1 year and then be the starter for 3 years. Do you buy that?
It's a great concept. And maybe that's something that's on the table to sit there and understand patience and such. But there are economists now in the world of college football that talk to these youngsters about, getting themselves into the next level of play and getting themselves into a situation where they can garner NFL money early. And if you wait and, you know, extend your collegiate career, you're basically putting off your earning career. And it'll just be interesting to see what Damon, Sam, Brock, all the Hewards decide is the best course of action for Sam Heward.
Yeah, we'll see. The sense I'm getting, the early sense is that they would be okay with it if he showed up. Now, that's the early sense, and that could change overnight. So we'll see what happens with this. But if Kalen DeBoer does get Jake Haener, Jake Haener is also taking a bit of a risk. I mean, Kalen DeBoer, and you put yourself in his shoes, Coach. You can't just guarantee this guy the starting quarterback job.
No.
He's got to come in here and earn it. So Jake Haener goes from potentially starting for Fresno to maybe being a backup at Washington.
Best player plays. You're exactly right. But here's my caveat to that. Jake Haener isn't going to make this move to come to Washington, return to Washington, I should say, without a wink, wink, nod, nod from somebody that this is going to be where I'm going to get to play.
Okay. Interesting. Have you done that before?
Wink, wink, nod, nod?
Yeah.
No, I didn't have a portal. had I had a portal, there may have been more winking and more nodding.
Rick, what does it mean for this conference that Lincoln Riley's here?
It's a fantastic bump for the Pac-12. Lincoln Riley is a proven entity. He hasn't won a national championship, but he's been to the college football playoff three times. He's got the reputation as an offensive wizard, which is plenty good to keep West Coast talent in the West Coast. We're already seeing some defections at Oklahoma following him, some recruits changing their commitment now heading to the West Coast. And at the end of the day, this is what George Kliavkoff needs. He needs Kalen DeBoer to be successful. He needs Lincoln Riley to be successful. We need the Pac-12 to create content that the networks are dying to put on television so that they start to get their piece of the pie as all these other conferences have enjoyed. That's, at the end of the day, the biggest bang of Lincoln Riley going to SC, because now SC has a chance to be powerful again. And it's, when we were watching television on a Saturday night or a Saturday afternoon, the Pac-12 needs to be part of that mosaic.
Yeah. Well, Rick Neuheisel with us. We're going to talk with Time Pick of the Week in a second. I want to get your thoughts on the Oregon-Utah game as well tomorrow. But Brian Kelly leaves Notre Dame and goes to LSU. Lincoln Riley called a traitor in Norman for taking off and going to USC. And I don't know, I see all these people upset at coaches for leaving. And, you know, some of them say that, you know, players should stick around and gut it out. And then coaches just take off and do their own thing. There seems to be kind of a disconnect about how loyal these guys really need to be in this sport. What do you make of that?
We saw 14 coaches told your services are no longer wanted here during the course of the regular season this year. They didn't even get to finish. Clay Helton's record is close to 70% win percentage, and he was shown the door in like week three or four. I mean, you have to sit and be crazy for coaches not to sit and take care of themselves in terms of securing their futures. It makes no sense. Loyalty is a two-way street. But that being said, I don't have any problem with all that's going on, and I'm congratulating all the coaches that have landed monster deals and secured their financial futures for their families. I just want it to happen a week later. This is nonsense that it happens during the conference title games when the focus should be on what's going on between the lines. All these great games that we've got. You wanted to ask about the Oregon-Utah game. I like Oregon this game. You know, the Anthony Brown went 23 of 28 last week for 270 or something, two touchdowns, was flawless as a quarterback. That was in front of his home crowd. Now he's going to be in Vegas inside. The weather's going to be perfect. There's no wild, crazy student section that's going to be intimidating this action. And I believe that that Oregon will do an about-face after their 38-7 loss to Utah. I think they'll win the game and get to a Rose Bowl, which will be a great finish for Mario Cristobal and the Oregon Ducks. But this nonsense about having all this happen where we're not talking about the games, just wait one more week. And the way to do that is to move this early signing date to August. We need to get out of this December 15th date, move it to August. Those who want to go, you go. And then make December a transfer portal time. You just determine what you need, and then you go back to the high schools in February. That's how to fix college football and get the attention where the attention belongs.
All right, Rick, you got back to 500 last week on your Taco Time Pick of the Week with UCLA over USC. All right, this week, my Taco Time Pick of the Week, I'm going to tell you what I had for lunch the other day. I had a soft chicken soft taco and a crisp beef burrito, and it was absolutely fantastic. So what is your get over 500 Rick's Taco Time Pick of the Week?
Dick Fain, I think you pick that every week. You need to venture out. Taco Time has a vast menu, and yet you go there every week. I mean,
I go there a lot, actually.
Wear some different clothes, try a different pair of shoes. Let's work for some variety in your life. We're going to have some variety here. We're going to the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Bailey Zappe is the leading quarterback in the country. He's thrown for nearly 5,000 yards. He's got 52 touchdown passes. And the Hilltoppers have won 7 in a row. And if you study it, the margin of victory in that run to get to this championship game against UTSA, the San Antonio Roadrunners, that margin of victory has been 26 points plus. I am going with the Hilltoppers, and so should you.
Wow. All right. Well, that's the first time this year we've ventured down to that level of football, and I love it. Western Kentucky giving 3.5 against Texas San Antonio.
Softy, trust me. Bailey Zappe will make you happy.
Well, you know what? This is the difference between going 7-6 and 6-7 on the season so far. So it's a big one for you, baby. All right, Rick.
I struggled early, but I'm on a roll right now.
I love it.
I got a hot dice.
I love it. Great stuff, and we'll talk in a week, man.
Thanks,
appreciate
Coach.
It, pal.
See you, fellas.
See ya. Rick Neuheisel likes Western Kentucky. Isn't that George Fant's alma mater? Western Kentucky against Texas San Antonio. Hilltopper's given 3.5. He says, jump all over. We're going to break. We got Fact or Fiction brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. And then Mike Holmgren will be here at 4 o'clock today, coming up on 950 KJR.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.